This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
global stocks rebound as potential trade war panic shows signs of easing.
OPEC and its allies head for a battle in Vienna over oil output.
The board of Fox meets to consider Comcast's $65 billion bid.
Shares of Starbucks slump as the coffee chain pairs back operations in the U.S.
President Trump says he would endorse two Republican immigration bills in the House that would halt the policy of separating families at the U.S.-Mexico border. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees won again. Rookies led them to a win at the stadium over Seattle. The Mets winning streak came to an end at Colorado.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective no-K1 commodity ETFs. Visit graniteshares.com for more information. Distributor, Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
And U.S. futures and European equities are rising as concerns surrounding a potential global trade war show signs of easing. 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 118, NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany's up 0.4%, so is the CAC in Paris, FTSE 100 up 1.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.25%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.90%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $4 to $1,274.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1567. The yen, 110.11. Bob.
We begin in Vienna, where OPEC and its allies are heading for a battle over oil production. Iran has rejected a potential compromise that calls for a modest increase in oil production output. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern has the latest from Vienna.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. It's certainly going to be a contentious meeting this week. The question is not really any longer about increasing production. Most analysts agree more oil is coming. It's about consensus. Can the cartel make an announcement, a decision together, all in it, or will Iran and possibly Venezuela and Iraq block a hike? The Iranian oil minister Zanganeh arrived last night. He told a group of reporters that at this time he does not think the group could reach an agreement. He also added that OPEC is not part of the U.S. Department of Energy, so really calling out the United States. It's now up to Saudi oil minister Khaled Al-Faleh and his OPEC plus counterpart Alexander Novak to convince the rest of the group to get on board what many are saying could be a modest hike. In Vienna, I'm Anne-Marie Hordern, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Anne-Marie, thank you very much. And checking oil prices this morning, Brent crude is higher by 0.5% to $75.51. WTI is up 0.2% to $65.52.
Late last night, the White House issued a report outlining how China's policies, quote, threaten the economic and national security of the U.S. It's the latest move to increase trade tensions. Eamon Mostaki is chief investment officer at Capricorn Fund Managers.
I think Trump needs some victories under his belt, and now again he's pushing very aggressively in terms of this negotiation, as I think we have to view it. And it means that we could be on the edge of something a bit bigger, because the market started to price it in, and you're starting to see the first shocks, I think, within it.
Those shocks showed up in Chinese stocks yesterday, which plunged more than 3%. The Shanghai Composite paired some of those losses today, finishing up 0.3%.
The head of Goldman Sachs is weighing in on trade concerns. In an interview with Bloomberg, Lloyd Blankfein says the president's tariff threats probably won't bring about a devastating trade war.
I don't think we're in a suicide pact on this, so I suspect that we're not going to cause the economies to collapse. So I don't think that's what's going on. I do think, as some people have commented, that this is part of a negotiating pattern. That would be my best take.
Those tariffs from the White House, meantime, could deliver a sizable hit to China's economy. Economists say the most recent threat to impose levies on another $200 billion of imports could cut as much as 0.5 percentage point from China's economic growth.
The Treasury Secretary is signaling his displeasure with Mr. Trump's trade war by saying nothing at all. Sources tell Bloomberg Steven Mnuchin is maintaining a deliberate silence to show his dissatisfaction as the president proceeds with tariffs on Chinese goods.
President Trump hosts Republican senators at the White House today in an effort to save Chinese telecom company ZTE. Mr. Trump will urge lawmakers to soften a bill that would restore economic sanctions on the company.
Turning to corporate news now, the board of 21st Century Fox meets today to weigh Comcast's $65 billion bid for its entertainment assets. And sources tell Bloomberg that Fox is leaning towards starting negotiations with the cable company. Bloomberg's Jill Schneider reports.
The board at Fox must decide whether the Comcast proposal is superior to a $52 billion bid by Walt Disney. Fox earlier agreed to sell its entertainment assets to Disney if it prefers Comcast's offer. Sources tell Bloomberg that Fox can ask Disney for a waiver to begin discussions with Comcast. Disney would then have 5 days to make a fresh bid. In New York, I'm Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jill, thank you. General Electric has been kicked off the Dow Jones Industrial Average, once the world's most valuable company. GE has seen its stock decline nearly 60% since the start of 2017. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Brooke Sutherland.
This is definitely a moment in GE's history, and I think it's a little sobering. And it's more, if anything, symbolic just of how far this company has fallen.
GE is the worst performer in the Dow this year. It will be replaced by Walgreens Boots Alliance beginning June 26th.
Starbucks is pumping the brakes in the U.S. The coffee chain plans to close about 150 stores next year after saying it expects comparable sales to rise just 1% globally in the current quarter. That would be the worst performance in 9 years. Shares of Starbucks are down about 4% in early trading.
Shares of Oracle are down around 4% this morning. The world's second largest software company projected profit for the current quarter that fell short of estimates.
Boeing has landed a deal from FedEx worth $6.6 billion. FedEx plans to order 24 cargo aircraft from Boeing to replace aging freighters.
And a couple of quick programming notes just minutes from now. Tune in for an exclusive interview with Goldman Sachs President David Solomon. Then at 9:30 this morning, Wall Street time, join us for a special panel from the European Central Bank Conference in Portugal, where Bloomberg's Stephanie Flanders speaks to ECB President Mario Draghi, Fed Chairman Jay Powell, Bank of Japan Governor Haruhiko Kuroda, and Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe. S&P futures up 9 points. That is a third of 1%. Stay with us for the world and national news now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr is with us at 6:07. Good morning, Michael.
Thank you very much, Bob. President Donald Trump threw his support behind two Republican immigration bills in the House that would end a harshly criticized administration policy that has separated families caught illegally crossing the U.S. border with Mexico. Trump held a closed-door meeting at the Capitol last evening with House Republicans. Earlier, Trump, during a speech to a small business trade group in Washington, said he had only two options for immigration enforcement: totally open borders or criminal prosecution for lawbreaking. Democratic lawmakers are angry about family separations at the southern border. While speaking to reporters after the meeting with Trump, Republican Congressman Carlos Curbelo was confronted by Democratic Representative Juan Vargas.
He wanted to talk to
I hope you tell him not to put people
about,
in cages.
I think he Carlos, wanted to talk to members
I hope you
about,
tell him, though, about this. You were the one that we were hoping on, and you haven't helped us out on this at all, Carlos.
I wish that you would have been upset when the Obama administration had children.
Because we weren't doing this, and you know that.
President Trump claims only Congress can keep families together, but the separations are in fact the result of his administration's zero-tolerance policy. Citing what it regards as a chronic anti-Israel bias, the U.S. has chosen to leave the United Nations Human Rights Council. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley.
I want to make it crystal clear that this step is not a retreat from human rights commitments. On the contrary, we take this step because our commitment does not allow us to remain a part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights.
Haley says the council is now worthy of its name, saying many of the members of the council are serious human rights abusers. A pay raise for federal employees is moving forward on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports.
A Senate Appropriations Subcommittee has approved a spending bill that includes a 1.9% bump for feds in the next fiscal year. Bloomberg Law reports this is the first indication that congressional Republicans may be willing to buck President Trump on the issue of federal pay. His fiscal 19 budget request included a pay freeze freeze for federal workers, but it also included a $1 billion workforce fund to recruit and retain high performers across government. That idea isn't getting much traction on Capitol Hill. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
In the UK, we have another important vote on Brexit today. Bloomberg's Tim Ross reports from London.
Theresa May faces another crucial vote in Parliament on her draft Brexit law on Wednesday. If she loses, members of Parliament will have more power to stop the UK leaving the EU with no deal and to decide what happens next if negotiations fail. May says she can't accept this because it will bind her hands during the talks and make it harder to get a good deal. In London, Tim Ross, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Canada's Senate gave final passage to the federal government's bill to legalize pot. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, along with the Red Sox. The Nationals beat the Orioles 9-7, the A's and Giants won. In the World Cup, Japan, Senegal, and Russia were winners. Today, Portugal takes on Morocco, Uruguay plays Saudi Arabia, and Iran faces Spain. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. S&P futures this morning are up 9 points. That is a third of 1%. Dow futures up 122 points. NASDAQ futures up 23 points. Now we head to Beijing for a special interview with Goldman Sachs President and Chief Operating Officer David Solomon. He sits down this morning with Bloomberg's Stephen Engel, Francine Lacroix, and Tom Keene. Let's go to Beijing now for that conversation.
Yes, hi, Tom, and we welcome our audiences on Bloomberg Television and Bloomberg Radio to the Goldman Sachs offices here in Beijing with our guest, the president of Goldman Sachs, David Solomon. Thanks so much for your time, and thank you for having us in your offices here. So what is your take from being here in China on the brewing trade friction, if you will? Some are saying it's already getting into a bit of a war. What's your perspective on it?
Well, first, Steve, I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for having me. It's good to be back in China, and it's nice to spend some time with you this morning. Look, the relationship between China and the United States is a hugely important economic relationship. There's no question that the level of friction around the trade discussion has been escalating, and in the context of that, that's leading to some uncertainty and some question about where this will all go. Obviously hard to predict at this point. Market participants are watching it very, very closely, but to the degree that it escalated more, start to see that, but up till this point, and you know, we'd all agree that the escalation, certainly from a rhetoric perspective, has increased the last few days. You know, it's not enough time to see whether or not that's affecting investment flows. But if it continued, it could affect investment flows.
Mm-hmm. How about your plans for private bank and wealth management? I know Lloyd has talked about really building that out as you're the heir apparent as well. How do you see the growth of the private bank, and in particular in Asia?
Well, we're very excited about the opportunity to continue to expand our wealth management business
right.
all over the world. And certainly we see with the continuing growth of wealth here in Asia an opportunity to continue to expand our wealth management business here in Asia. If you were asking about our consumer platform and our growth of our consumer business, for the moment that's mostly a focus on building a U.S. platform,
right.
although we're starting to build out a deposit platform, you know, in the U.K. and in Europe. But what technology is actually allowing us to do, it's allowing us to go build a platform and provide products to consumers in a different way that solve their problems or pain points in a different way than more traditional providers. And so these would not be businesses that we would have had access to without buying or really building an enormous infrastructure, traditional brokerage infrastructure, retail banking infrastructure. With technology today, you can provide a product or a service to a slice of the addressable market that's a better or differentiated product and service, and we're very focused on doing that. I think we can build a big business and connect it to multiple other products and services that we're well positioned to offer, in particular wealth management. So we're excited about the opportunity that the markets platform provides us. There are risks that come with building that platform, and we're obviously focused on that, but we're excited about the opportunities to serve a new group of clients with a differentiated product, and we think we're good at actually building out a platform like that, but that'll have to be proven over time.
Yeah, is Marcus something that could work here in Asia and something that you would plan for?
You know, look, I think that we need to prove it out in the U.S. We're a U.S. company. We've got, you know, enormous access and footprint in the U.S. Mm-hmm. There are people that compete in those businesses over here that don't compete in the U.S. And so for the moment, we're going to be focused on building that business principally in the U.S., but we'll see over time. If we do something that really serves consumer needs and we build an extraordinary platform that adds value, there will be opportunities to expand that more broadly over time.
Now, Goldman has a stated goal of an additional $5 billion in revenue. Which main business line do you see giving that biggest boost?
So if you looked at the $5 billion of growth initiatives we outlined last fall, they touch a number of our businesses. They touch our fixed income business, our equity business, our investment banking business. It incorporates growth and investment in this consumer platform and also our wealth management business and our investment management business broadly. We set those growth initiatives out a year ago to start to talk about some of the places that we were investing and we were growing. But I'd just like to highlight that is by far not the limit of our ambitions.
Right.
So we are investing in a variety of places and driving growth through those. We track those, and those are moving forward appropriately. But we continue to look for other opportunities to expand the product set that we can offer our clients and to use technology and our footprint to expand the services that we provide.
How about here in Asia? We've talked a lot about the potential of getting the securities joint venture up into a wholly owned entity eventually. How do you see hiring patterns going? I believe with Gaohua, 167 employees, Goldman Sachs Gaohua has about 100. I might be wrong on the numbers, but roughly 300 in total. Do you see significant hiring in China?
I think that our business in China will continue to grow over the next decade, and as it grows, we'll be required to add talent resources, you know, to the business. The hire that I mentioned today, which is obviously a very senior hire, is an indication of our continued commitment to growing and investing in the business here. As the business scales, we'll continue to add to it. One of the reasons we're excited about the opportunity in China is we do believe as markets open up and there's more liberalization of the capital markets here, that there will be a broader opportunity to serve clients here, and we want to be well positioned for that.
Are you satisfied with the pace of liberalization? They make a lot of pledges, but oftentimes it's the implementation that's the question. I mean, yes, MSCI has happened. It's a small quota. We are going to potentially get China depository receipts as well. They are trying to take these steps, but it's a slow process.
Look, there's no question that there's progress, but there's no question that it's a slow process. You know, I think as you think about investing in China and building your presence here, as we think about building our presence here in China, it's going to be very important for us that we stay committed and that we're patient.
Yeah.
And so, you know, would I like it to move faster? Of course I'd like it to move faster. But we're committed, and we're going to do what's necessary to move forward in the appropriate way.
Now, I'm not going to assume that you're going to give me a date on when Lloyd Blankfein retires, but
if he gave me one, I could give you one.
You are the heir apparent. He's talked about it a lot. How are you already shaping the kind of Goldman Sachs you would like to lead?
Well, Lloyd's the CEO, and he's running the firm. The board is going through a succession process in that context. You know, I'm operating as a president and chief operating officer, and Lloyd and I work together to continue to shape the direction of the firm as the firm moves forward. So I'm in a position where I have a very, very strong voice with Lloyd in driving the organization forward. And so at the moment, I'm focused on making sure, you know, we do that in the best way possible for our shareholders and our other stakeholders and for our clients.
The DNA of Goldman doesn't change, but are the maybe the strategies and the emphasis change a little bit as you're going into consumer banking? Bitcoin, we know that Lloyd is not a fan of Bitcoin, but you have started derivatives trading in Bitcoin, I believe, or cryptocurrencies. Do you see avenues that you would take the bank that perhaps Lloyd would not?
I think one of the things that you have to recognize about any institution, and Goldman Sachs will celebrate its 150th anniversary next year, is organizations have to change, you know, to move forward. They have to evolve. But generally, you know, they evolve. It's evolution, not revolution. And so, you know, it's going to be important for Goldman Sachs to continue to evolve its business and adapt to the environment that we're in. And with a 10 or 15-year view, I think you'll continue to see Goldman Sachs evolve, broaden out its platform. I think one of the things that we have going for us at the moment is we operate globally at scale in a number of businesses, and that gives us some opportunity to add other businesses, you know, to that portfolio of services we provide to clients. We're very focused on doing that. We'll continue to focus on that. Are there other, you know, are there businesses that we're not in now that we may get in? You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we're always looking at businesses and new opportunities. You know, you mentioned Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, not just Lloyd. We're cautious,
yeah,
but exploring,
yeah,
you know, those activities. Yes, we are clearing some futures around Bitcoin, talking about doing some other activities there, but exploring very cautiously. We think blockchain's extremely interesting.
Right.
But at the same point, we also are going to be very, very cautious, but we're listening to our clients and trying to help our clients as they're exploring those things too.
David Solomon, thank you very much for your time and giving your views on Goldman Sachs and the road ahead.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. From Beijing, we're going to send it back to you.
All right, and that was Goldman Sachs President and Chief Operating Officer David Solomon speaking with Bloomberg's Stephen Engel. And Solomon saying a trade war would be bad for China and the U.S. and that the U.S. economy is in good shape. Here is a check of the markets. S&P futures higher this morning, up 9 points. Dow futures up 119. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.90%. NYMEX crude oil higher, up 0.7% or 42 cents at $65.49 a barrel. COMEX gold lower, down 0.33%. Bob.
Karen, thank you. We are joined on the line live now by Bloomberg Economics Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna. Carl, good morning. So we heard David Solomon all but dismiss the threat of a trade war growing out of the tariff tensions between the U.S. and Bloomberg Economics Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna. Thank you very much for your insights this morning, Karen.
And we are coming up to 6:30 on Wall Street. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks around the world are rising as the panic surrounding a potential global trade war shows signs of easing. The Dow coming off six straight losing sessions.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross heads to Capitol Hill today to testify about the proposed tariff actions from the Trump administration. Bloomberg's Elisa Parente reports from Washington.
Wilbur Ross appears before the Senate Finance Committee at 9 a.m. to discuss President Trump's current and proposed tariffs. So far this year, the White House has imposed levies on imported washing machines, solar cells, steel, and aluminum. The administration has also proposed an additional $250 billion of tariffs on imports from China. $34 billion of that goes into effect on July 6th. In Washington, I'm Elisa Parenti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Elisa, thank you. Sources tell Bloomberg that 21st Century Fox is leaning towards starting negotiations with Comcast. That would pave the way for a bidding war over its entertainment assets.
Oracle shares are down 4%, the world's second largest software company, projected profit that fell short of estimates.
Starbucks shares are also lower by 4%. The coffee chain said it expects comparable sales to rise just 1% globally for the current quarter. That's below estimates and would be the worst performance in about 9 years.
General Electric shares are down 2%. The last remaining member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average from the 19th century will be replaced in the index next Tuesday by Walgreens Boots Alliance.
And Iran is putting itself on a collision course with Saudi Arabia at this week's OPEC meeting. Iran rejected a potential compromise that would see a small oil production increase to appease energy consumers. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil little changed, up 3 cents to $65.10 a barrel. Brent also little changed at $75.08.
And at 6:32 on Wall Street, time for your volatility index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 13.35. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 12.73. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are rising. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 120. NASDAQ futures up almost 24. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 0.4%. And the FTSE 100 up 1.1%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.25%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, the yield 2.90%. Yield on the 2-year 2.54%. COMEX gold moving lower, down about 0.33%, down $4.50 to $1,274.10 an ounce. The euro at $1.1562, the British pound $1.3158, and the yen at 110.13. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street, the tense immigration debate on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has the very latest. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump told House Republicans in a closed-door meeting that he would support two Republican immigration bills in the House that would end a harshly criticized administration policy that has separated families caught illegally crossing the U.S. border with Mexico. Trump sounded optimistic as he left the meeting.
These are laws that have been broken for many years, decades, but we had a great meeting.
Trump last night says that he would sign either more restrictive immigration legislation backed by the House conservatives or a compromise measure designed to appeal to more moderate Republicans. The Trump administration plans to pay a Texas nonprofit almost a half a billion dollars to house immigrant children this year. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The nonprofit is Southwest Key Programs, and the figure is $458 million. Southwest Key has about a dozen facilities in Texas, including the one at a former Walmart store in Brownsville that has drawn national attention. Authorities are now saying that nearly 12,000 immigrant children are receiving care who, since April, either crossed the border illegally and were separated from their family or crossed on their own. The contract for services was granted in February on an emergency basis. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo abruptly canceled a visit to Capitol Hill scheduled for today when he was supposed to update lawmakers on the status of the agreement signed by the president last week. It comes as North Korean leader Kim Jong-un made a surprise visit to China, his third this year. A New Jersey couple is suing their daughter's school district for not doing enough to protect her from incessant bullying they say is responsible for her suicide. Copeland Middle School sixth grader Mallory Grossman was only 12 years old when she took her own life last June. Her parents say she had been constantly bullied for months, and the kids who tormented her asked her mockingly when she would kill herself. Mother Diane Grossman.
We used to say, go jump in the lake. That was a funny thing to say. Now our kids are saying, go kill yourself. We've got to recognize that that type of language has to be intolerable.
Grossman says the school has still yet to discipline the classmates responsible. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. And just breaking on the Bloomberg, the European Union triggers an initial retaliation against the U.S. over metal tariffs. The European Commission giving final approval to the tit-for-tat duties, and the EU is hitting 2.8 billion euros of imports from the U.S. as of this Friday. It is now 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Seattle Mariners have been a big surprise this season. Came to the Bronx 20 games over 500. These two teams could meet in the playoff series opener last night. Yankees hit four home runs and won 7-2. Giancarlo Stanton went yard in the first inning. Aaron Hicks and Miguel Andujar in the fifth, both with a man on. Hicks has homered in three straight games. And Gleyber Torres a two-run shot in the eighth inning. Mariners had only two hits all night off rookie Domingo Germán, who at one point retired 19 in a row, and reliever A.J. Cole, who hadn't pitched in 3 weeks. Yanks move a season-high 26 games over 500. They're now a game ahead of the Red Sox, who lost to the Twins. The Mets signed Jason Vargas. They gave him $8 million a year. His ERA is 8.60, got only seven outs. In a 6-1 third inning, Vargas served up three home runs in a row. Rockies beat the Mets 10-8, ending the Mets' three-game winning streak. Houston had won 12 in a row. That streak came to an end. Tomorrow night is the NBA draft. The Knicks have the ninth pick. Some have projected them taking point guard Trae Young.
Hopefully a great NBA player. I believe in my talents. I believe in putting in the hard work and all that paying off. So far, that's worked out for me. And so working hard is nothing that people are going to have to worry about, something that my coaches and my teammates aren't going to have to worry about, because I'm going to work hard, and so they know they're going to get the best Trae Young they can get.
Young has been compared to Steph Curry. In his one season at Oklahoma, he led the nation in both scoring and assists. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
John, thank you. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The European Union will soon have to deal once more with Greece and its debts. After nearly a decade of support from its Eurozone partners, Greece and its creditors are hoping it will soon function once more like a normal economy. Without further moves on the part of Europe's governments, however, that hope is likely to be disappointed. Greece needs more debt relief, well beyond what the creditors have contemplated so far. Europe's governments have agreed in principle to soften the terms of support from the Eurozone's rescue funds after 22, so long as Greece maintains a significant budget surplus. And Europe's objections to an outright reduction in the face value of debt could probably be overcome so long as Greece made new commitments to fiscal discipline. Greece's government wants to declare a clean exit from its financial troubles this year. But unless Greece is sure of adequate liquidity in the event of a new crisis, any such declaration will be worthless. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. President Trump wants to ease sanctions against Chinese telecom company ZTE. Lawmakers are concerned, though, and are taking steps to protect the federal government from ZTE. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Lawmakers are pushing agencies to steer clear of ZTE for fear of cyber crimes. The bills would prevent money being spent unless a risk assessment has been conducted by the FBI.
When that defense bill moves to a negotiation with the House this summer, the White House is expected to be actively working to get it out.
Bloomberg government's Nancy Ognanovich says President Trump eased up on ZTE despite its dealings with Russia, Iran, and North Korea.
It was agreed that if China paid a massive fine, that it would be allowed to sell in this country again, but the Senate just isn't looking very favorably at that.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. And President Trump will host Republican senators at the White House today. In an effort to save ZTE, he'll urge lawmakers to soften that bill that would restore economic sanctions on the company. Now 6:39, coming up on 6:40 on Wall Street, time for a Bloomberg Green Business Report. A move to end the sale of hazardous paint strippers containing methylene chloride is gaining momentum with an announcement by Home Depot that it will remove the product from store shelves by the end of the year. The chain cites environmental and safety concerns as well as alternative chemical paint remover options on its shelves. Home Depot is the third American retailer to halt sales of the paint strippers. Home improvement rival Lowe's was the first to announce it would remove methylene chloride from store shelves, followed by Sherwin-Williams. The Environmental Protection Agency had proposed a ban last year. Methylene chloride has been linked to 60 deaths worldwide, many of them due to inhalation in enclosed spaces. And advocates are calling on other stores, including Walmart and Ace Hardware, to ban the hazardous chemicals. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. And Bloomberg Opinion was brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car Corporation in beautiful Englewood, New Jersey. A true luxury experience. Benzel Busch is where luxury lives. Experience the elevated standard you deserve. Visit BenzelBusch.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and the European Union triggered the first phase of retaliation against the U.S. over its metal import tariffs imposed on a national security grounds, making good on more than 3 months of threats to hit American goods with tit-for-tat levies. The EC in Brussels giving final approval for a 25% duty on $3.2 billion of EU imports of a range of U.S. products. And futures this morning moving higher. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are climbing after yesterday's sell-off, with Dow futures up 122 points. S&P's gained 10, while the Nasdaq futures climbed by 25. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.9%, and Japan rose 1.2% overnight, where European markets are also rising, led by gains in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, existing home sales. After the bell last night, Oracle issued a disappointing forecast. Shares are down 3.6% in the pre-market. FedEx beat estimates. Starbucks is down 5% in the pre-market. Company saw Q3 global same-store sales up 1% versus an estimate of up 2.9%. And GE was kicked out of the Dow and will be replaced by Walgreens. Wrapping things up, Williams-Sonoma was downgraded to neutral at Citigroup. Alarm.com downgraded to sell at Goldman Sachs. Starbucks was downgraded to equate at Morgan Stanley. And Citigroup was upgraded to buy over at Deutsche Bank. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, lawmakers say it looks like President Trump will support two Republican immigration bills in the House that would end family separations at the U.S.-Mexico border. A White House spokesman says the president endorsed both House immigration bills that build the wall, close legal loopholes, cancel the visa lottery, curb chain migration, and solve the border crisis and family separation issue by allowing for family detention and removal. The Trump administration withdrew from the United Nations Human Rights Council, making good on a pledge to leave a body it accused of hypocrisy and bias against Israel. And in sports, the Yankees won, the Mets lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal. For years, we have learned the 30 companies in the Dow Jones Industrial Average that GE was always there. We've been talking about it all this morning. After 12 decades, the last original member will be kicked out of the Dow. Next Tuesday, it will be replaced by Walgreens Boots Alliance. After what was once the world's most valuable company, it has been the Dow's worst performer this year, down 26%. And, Bob, it was the Dow's worst performer last year, too.
GE down almost 3% this morning in early trading. Gives whole new meaning to the phrase, losing your place.
Yeah, life is changing. My goodness. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. The agenda in our nation's capital today includes President Trump meeting with members of Congress in the White House, where he will pressure lawmakers not to sanction Chinese telecom company ZTE. On Capitol Hill, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross testifies at a Senate Finance Committee hearing on tariffs. And House Democrats hold a press conference on the immigration policy of separating families at the southern border. Let's dig deeper into this debate over immigration now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Welcome. So where do things stand on a fix for this now?
So we're a little bit closer, maybe just a hair closer than we were, you know, maybe 24 hours ago, in the sense that Trump has now backed both of these House immigration proposals after a meeting with House Republicans last night. Now the question becomes, you know, how quickly can they bring those proposals to the floor and will they have the votes for them? And that is where it gets complicated, because Democrats in the House have said that both those bills are non-starters, and it's not clear that they have enough votes on the Republican side for either of those proposals. Also, in the Senate, there's a number of proposals that Republicans have introduced, and all the Democrats have signed on to a proposal from Dianne Feinstein that would halt the practice. But it's also unclear in that chamber whether any of those proposals will get a vote and what that vote would look like.
And we've seen this just turn really emotional as the president visited Capitol Hill yesterday. We were seeing reports that some interns and other workers on Capitol Hill were actually swearing at him. The president has been taking a lot of heat for this. How might it play out in the midterm elections?
Definitely. You know, and I also saw that Kirstjen Nielsen, the Homeland Security Secretary, was confronted at a restaurant in Washington last night by some protesters. So, you know, certainly this is an issue that is touching a lot of folks, touching a nerve for a lot of folks. I think the issue, though, is that a lot of the polling has shown that this policy actually has support among Republicans. So the question becomes, you know, how this really plays out in the midterms in some of these districts that are more Republican-leaning. Perhaps it, you know, is not a liability for Republicans, but we could see it become a liability in bigger races like Senate races and statewide races in places like Florida and Texas, where, you know, there's a wider sort of group of people who will be going to the polls in November. So certainly Republicans are getting jittery about what this is going to mean for them in November. And in a lot of ways, in a lot of districts, it certainly isn't going to help them.
Let's turn back to trade now. The Trump administration put out a statement targeting China last night. What does this latest rhetoric from the White House say?
Well, so basically, this is the White House kind of doubling down on their assertion that China's trade practices are a threat to U.S. national security, which is basically the justification they've been using for these latest round of tariffs that they've put on China. So basically, this was a very, you know, strongly worded report and statement from the White House that basically expanded upon that theory and accused China of, you know, essentially aggressively, you know, propping up its growth through an aggressive and abnormal trade practices that, you know, are, in the administration's view, a threat to the U.S. national security.
And then just minutes ago, the European Union triggered the first phase of its retaliation against the U.S. over steel and aluminum tariffs. Kathleen, what is the EU doing here?
So basically what they've done is they've formalized what they've been talking about doing and threatening to do for a couple of months now, about 3 months ever since the U.S. announced the steel and aluminum tariffs. The EU basically said from the get-go they would impose their own kind of tit-for-tat retaliation. And what they've now done is formalize that. And so it looks like those tariffs, those retaliatory tariffs that the EU would put on, you know, everything from Harley-Davidson motorcycles to bourbon to Levi jeans could take effect as soon as Friday.
Now, has the president said whether he will retaliate against retaliation?
Well, this is the thing. It seems like on, you know, both in the European and in the Asian sphere, it seems like there's kind of this, you know, piece by piece escalation that we're seeing. And so I think, you know, Trump certainly isn't backing down from the idea of upping the ante in both those areas.
And so far, how much goods, you know, what's the total of goods that have been affected by these tariffs in Europe?
In Europe, I know that there's, you know, it was a 25% tariff on steel and I think 10% on aluminum. And so, you know, I mean, I think that it's even a bigger issue, those tariffs for Europe, than they were for China, because China is not a huge importer of U.S. steel. So obviously in the European theater, that's a big issue and one that Europe's really confronting now.
And has the administration given itself any escape valve for any of this?
Well, I mean, in a sense, the administration could. I mean, we saw the administration kind of backing away from what they initially said they were going to do. For example, in China with the Chinese firm ZTE, we saw them backing away from some stronger tariffs that they talked about that would have affected ZTE. So, I mean, certainly the administration has mechanisms they can use to kind of ratchet down the pressure if they so choose. But I don't know that we've gotten any signal yet that they're thinking along those lines.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
It's 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker.
There are more breweries in California than anywhere else in the nation. That's great for beer, but not so great for another cherished liquid in the Golden State, water. Lenny Mondonca is owner of the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company.
The craft brewing industry in California is very big and growing. It has been growing at over 10% a year for over a decade, and there are dozens of craft breweries opening up every month in California. For every pint of beer that you drink, 4 or 5 pints of water used in its production.
He thinks he has a solution to using all that water. He's been experimenting with using recycled wastewater to make beer. In an informal taste test, even a competitor was impressed and couldn't tell the difference between the regular brew and the suds using recycled H2O. Half Moon is still waiting for the regulations to change before they can sell their beer to the swilling public. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, thanks, John. And again, as we were just talking about, the European Union triggering the first phase of retaliation against the U.S. over its metal import tariffs imposed on national security grounds, making good on more than 3 months of threats to hit American goods with tit-for-tat levies. The EC in Brussels giving final approval for a 25% duty on $3.2 billion of EU imports of a range of U.S. products, including Harley-Davidson motorcycles, Levi Strauss jeans, and bourbon whiskey. A separate 10% levy is being applied to U.S. playing cards imported into the bloc. And the tit-for-tat duties are to be published in the official journal on Thursday and to take effect on Friday. Right now, futures are moving higher. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 118. NASDAQ futures up 24. The 10-year Treasury little changed. Yield 2.89%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil is also little changed. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keen and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. And for our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.